Well, hey guys, welcome. Man, we're so excited. We're in this series called Viral, and we've been looking at all these different videos that have gone viral over the past few months, and so that one is a great one. I want to take a moment before we get into the message tonight. I'm really excited about this message, but before we get into the message, I want to just share some really cool things that have been happening because of you. And, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at Believers Church and at Paramount as a whole, this is our vision. This is what we exist to do. We exist to see a city connected with God. That's our goal. And if you want to know, man, why do we put all this on? Why do we do what we do? It's because of that. We exist to see a city connected with God. And I have to let you know that over the past 8 months, as we've been in 2016, that thanks to what you have contributed, thanks to the part you have played, and thanks to all these amazing leaders that have kind of helped and come alongside of you, we have seen over 70 people for the very first time decide to follow Jesus. And here's what we know, that sometimes people might raise their hand multiple times and all that. We don't count all that. We just say, hey, whenever is their first time to us, that's the time we're going to count it. But man, to us, it's incredible to see 72 people who have decided, hey, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to commit my heart to Jesus. And so I want to let you know that you guys have been a part of something here that is not happening everywhere. And I want to let you know there are a ton of great churches all throughout this community. There's a lot of amazing things that are happening all over, but we get to be a part of something pretty cool too. And so, man, as you go back to school this year, I want to let you know that you are a part of something great. You're a part of something awesome. And really, without you inviting and without you being the light of Christ everywhere you go, that doesn't happen. And so I want to just congratulate you and say, guys, you're doing amazing. And you're an amazing ministry to work with. And we're so glad. We actually think of it this way, that we're not ministry for students, that we're ministry with students. We really believe that you are the church, that this building is not the church, that you are the church. And so it's amazing to see what you guys are doing as God has kind of been challenging you and shaping you and molding you throughout this year. Tonight, we're continuing a message series called Viral, and the whole thought process behind this series is very simple. We believe as followers of Christ that you have a message worth spreading, that you have something that is really good, and that you've got to get it out there. And tonight, I'm really excited about the thing that we're going to dive into, because I believe this is going to change the way that you look at how to spread the message. In fact, I think it's going to change the way you look at God in general. But you know, I don't know if any of you have ever had something that seemed kind of insurmountable in your life. Some of you, every time you go home, you go into your room, it's just this pile of clothes and everything like that. And you're like, man, I know I'm supposed to eventually clean this. I have no clue how that's ever going to happen. Some of you, you're in your first week of school already, and you've already got like 3 tests, or you've got like a paper that's due, maybe an 8-10 page paper. And you're like, I know I'm supposed to turn in a 10-page paper, but I just am looking at a blank screen right now, right? Like, it's like, what's going on? I'll never forget, I had a moment about 3 years ago where my family began to move. And I don't know if you've ever had to move houses before, if you've ever had to change where you live. But when it comes to moving, there's a lot of things I didn't really understand. And so we were going to move from Los Angeles, California, all the way over here to Warren, Ohio, and 2,300 miles away. And all I remember is that for about a month leading up to the day we left in October, I remember that we were starting to do this thing where we'd fill up boxes full of things that we wanted to keep, and then we'd fill up trash bags full of things we were going to get rid of, and then we'd fill up things that we were going to give away, and then my brother was moving to Arkansas, and my other brother was moving to Anaheim, and then we were moving to Ohio, and I remember it was just boxes, and we would just fill up boxes everywhere. And I don't know if you've ever moved, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. And so eventually we fill up this, you know, truck, and we're about to take off, and we go across the country. It was like a 4-day drive, and there was a point where our car got on fire, and it was just kind of this whole thing. And then my dogs are just chilling in the back, you know, they're just enjoying the life. And then, you know, there's times where you're so tired, you're driving maybe 16, 18 hours a day, and you're just like, man, what's going to happen? My dad was like slapping himself. I mean, just all kinds of stuff to survive this trip. And then we finally get here after 4 days of excruciating driving. And then we have to unload all the boxes. And we go to this storage container, and we unload all these boxes. And then eventually my parents moved into a new place, and so we had to take all the boxes that we had unloaded from this storage place, and we have to load them into their place. And then I moved out. Let me just tell you this. If I never see a box again, I'm really cool with that, right? Because whenever you have to move, or you have to start a paper, or you have to clean your room for something, whenever you have to do that, sometimes we look at the magnitude of what's in front of us and we think, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to do this? We look at that and we think, I know it's supposed to get done, But this is a lot. And when it comes to the message of spreading, the spreading of the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for sins, that he rose again, sometimes it can feel really intimidating. It can feel like something that is so big that we're not really sure how we can do it. And here's why. Because right now, as we live, there's about 1.3 to 2 billion people that would say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's across the world. There's 1.3 to 2 billion people that would say, I follow Jesus. But then beyond that, there's about 5 billion people that would say, I don't really believe that Christ is the way to heaven. And so we believe, hey, this message is worth spreading to everyone. And sometimes when you look at that number, 7 billion, it can actually be really crazy. In fact, it's even going to get bigger. The United Nations put out three different projections for what the year 2100. Anybody thought about where you're going to be in 2100? Some of you would be like, I'm going to be like 100 years old. That's right, you are. 2100, they put out three projections. The first said, the lowest one said that we, at the very minimum, we'll have 7 billion people still. So we'll stay right where we're at. Some of them said that we'll have 11 billion people. In fact, the kind of the middle of the road one said we'll have 11 billion people by the time we get to 2100. But the biggest estimate said that we might have 19 billion people. Can you imagine? Like, everywhere you go, there's people. I don't know how you ever get privacy, but I mean, like, there's 19 billion people on earth. And you may not be alive, I'm not sure, but your grandkids or maybe your great-grandkids will be alive for this. And here's the thing. No matter how big that number gets, it's always going to be really intimidating to say, hey, man, how are we supposed to spread this good news? And what I want to do is I want to talk to you about something that I believe is going to help you spread this message with greater effectiveness. It's going to help you become the person not only that can spread the good news, but that can actually experience it in your own life. And here's what I want to talk about. In fact, it's not something, it's someone. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. And maybe for you, you grew up in church and that word, the Holy Spirit, is kind of a different thing for you. You're not really sure what to think about that. Maybe you didn't grow up in church at all and you're like, what in the world is the Holy Spirit? And here's what I want to just fill you in a little bit on what the Holy Spirit is and who the Holy Spirit is. And so just basic theology 101 for Christians, even though it's kind of hard to grasp with your mind. But here's what it is. That God is three people in one. That God is God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And God is one God, but he's got three distinct persons, and it's Jesus, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And each of them do different things. Each of them accomplish different, and they're all perfectly submitted to one another. And so Christianity does not say, hey, well, there's three different gods. No, no, no. Christianity says there's one God and three persons. And let me say this. Anybody a little bit confused by what that actually means, right? Some of us, this has actually been a hang-up for us with Christianity. Maybe we're saying like, yeah, I've heard about this whole Trinity thing that's kind of been said throughout the Bible, but I'm kind of confused about it. How could that be real? And let me just pose this question to you, that if there really is a God who is bigger and greater than what we could ever hope or imagine, if he can do things that are beyond our grasp, is it possible that he could be things that we can't quite understand and he could do things that we can't quite understand? I would actually say that one of the great measuring sticks of whether it is actually God, if God is actually a God worth serving, is that there are things that are outside of our understanding about God. And so as we kind of dive into the Holy Spirit, I want to show you that I believe that the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, can radically revolutionize the way you look at your life. And so I want to talk about something that Jesus brought up, and we're going to look at the Apostle John. John follow Jesus around. And so if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can open to John chapter 16, and we're going to get kind of land there. But, you know, John followed Jesus around. There became a very specific point in John's ministry, in Jesus' ministry, where John was following around, where Jesus said, hey, look, there's going to come a day where I leave you. And at that time, the disciples did not know that Jesus was going to die on the cross for everyone's sins. They didn't know that he was going to be raised from the dead, but they just thought, well, he's telling us he's going to leave us. And Jesus went on to say that when I leave you, you're going to be persecuted, that people aren't going to like you, that people are going to disrespect you because of me. And so this is not the best news to hear when you're a follower of Jesus, because you're like, I didn't think it was going to turn out like this. So we're going to pick it up right when Jesus is kind of saying, now look, this is going to happen, but there's something better on the lookout. John chapter 16, verse 5 says this. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. In fact, it is best for you that I go away. I want you to put yourself in their shoes for just one second. These are people who looked to Jesus, who said, I am the king. I am the king that is going to bring in a new kingdom that will never fade away. And Jesus has done all these miracles, and he's preached this truth that kind of challenges the way people look at life, and it's really deep, and they're all like, how could Jesus, that guy, who when he sees big waves coming at them and hurricanes, he just says a word and it's all stilled. He said, how could it be better if you go away? And maybe you've had this thought too. I know I've had this thought before. Man, wouldn't it be cool to just have Jesus with us all the time? Like, we hear all these amazing things about Jesus. Wouldn't it kind of be cool to just have him in third period with you, and you're just like sitting in algebra and you're like, man, this is a really tough one. Jesus is like, oh, not for me, man. You know, like, wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus with us everywhere we go? And the disciples are saying, man, Jesus, wait, you can't leave us. But Jesus said something powerful. He said, it is best for you if I go. That there's something better. In fact, it's the best better that you could ever experience. Look at what Jesus goes on to say. He says, in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus is saying, look, I know it doesn't seem great to you that I'm going to go away, that I'm going to ascend into heaven, I'm going to leave you guys here. But if I don't do this, then you won't get the best. Jesus said, when I go, you'll have the Holy Spirit. And guys, let me just say this, as powerful as Jesus was, as amazing as he was, he would go from city to city and do miracles, and the wind and the waves obeyed him, and he was a God that preached perfect truth that challenged us to the very core. As amazing as that was, and as many thousands of people that he encountered throughout his life here on earth, that as a single person, as a God who had come into human form, that his reach was limited. His reach was limited. He couldn't be everywhere at every time. He couldn't go everywhere and just say, hey, I can be with you. But when he said, I'm going to leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be with you. And he will be working around you in things you can see and things you can't see. In fact, we needed Jesus to go so that we could have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Jesus said that there's power that comes on you when the Holy Spirit comes. In fact, he said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying, look, when the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to change everything. So he had his disciples waiting, and they were just waiting for the Holy Spirit. He said, wait in Jerusalem, wait there. And when you get the Holy Spirit, your life will never be the same. And here's what I would suggest to you. That if you are willing to give the Holy Spirit access to your life, that you can change the world. That you can change the world. But even better, you could change yourself. Some of those areas in your life where you've been struggling, some of those areas where you think, man, I'd love to be a better person here. Some of those areas where you've thought, man, I'd love to make more of a difference here. The Holy Spirit is the one that can fill you with power. In fact, it says that the disciples waited in Jerusalem, and when the Holy Spirit came, it shook the entire place where they were meeting. It says that there was like a massive shaking, that they were like tongues of fire that were filled all over them. And the next 27 chapters of Acts go on to tell how the Holy Spirit used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Guys, I really believe that there is power that happens if you are willing to partner with the Holy Spirit in your life. I believe God wants to be in your life every day when you go to school. I believe God wants to be with you in every moment. In fact, I would even say it this way. The Christian life has never been meant to be lived alone. The Christian life has never been meant to be lived alone. That when you go out and when you're in the difficult moments of your life, when you're in some of the most heart-wrenching moments of your life, you're not alone. You were never designed to be alone.
And when you feel inside of you this thing, this faith welling up and saying, I know I'm supposed to make a difference here, but I feel scared. I feel like I'm afraid of what could happen. You are never meant to be alone, but you have the Holy Spirit with you. And I want to show you tonight how to put into practice a lifestyle that allows the Holy Spirit to guide you throughout your life. And here's the first thing that I think is so critical. And if you're taking notes, this is what you got to write down. Number one, you have to build a foundation in the Word of God. Build a foundation in the Word of God. You know, there probably won't be a week that goes by here at Paramount where we don't tell you to read your Bible. Has anyone noticed that? Man, like every week, it seems like the way we're supposed to apply this to our life is to read our Bible. And here's why. Because when you read your Bible, when you commit to your life to a time where you are reading your Bible and getting into the Word of God, you are building a foundation that the Holy Spirit can speak to you from. And many of us, we say, man, I wish God would tell me where to go. I wish God would show me what's ahead. I wish God would show me what to do. But until we open our Bibles, we do not give the Holy Spirit room to speak in our lives. And some of you are in desperate need of God to speak to you. You are looking for answers and you need God's help. And the way that God wants to speak to you is through the Holy Spirit opening your eyes to the Word of God. I think about in my own life that for many times I would just hope I could hear God. And I would kind of just sit there and be like, God, hey, just sitting here. But it wasn't until I began to daily put into a practice where I got into the Bible, where I started to read God's Word, and I would sometimes start to take notes, and I would start to just sit and think about one little verse or one little chapter. And in that, the Holy Spirit would work in my heart, and He would say, hey, I want you to change what you're doing here. I want you to go for this. I want you to be more generous here. Or I want you to love in a different way than you're loving right now. Or you're selfish. You need to stop that. You know, not stop it. But, you know, it's like God wanted to speak to me, but the way He did it was through His Word. He built that foundation. And once He builds that foundation, that's when we can begin to cry out and turn our attention to God and say, God, would you fill me with your Spirit? You know, each and every day, we also encourage you to do not only read your Bible, but we call our first 15. We say, spend 5 minutes of your life reading your Bible. Spend 5 minutes of your morning in singing worship songs to God and singing 5 minutes of your time just praying. And last month, we actually did an entire series on how to do those things. And we call it our first 15. And here's why we believe that's so important, because when you spend that first 15 minutes with God, you begin to set your attention on God. You begin to set your focus on Him, and He will lead you and guide you. I remember when I was a senior in high school, some of my friends and I, we had Christmas break, and I know you just started school, but I promise Christmas is right around the corner. And we got to Christmas break, and we had this idea, hey, let's all go to IHOP, and we're going to do IHOP, and we're going to exchange gifts. I don't know. We're going to have some fun with it. And so I'll never forget, before that morning took place, before we went to IHOP, I just kind of got into that pattern where I did my first 15. And it wasn't intense or elaborate or anything like that, but I just began to pray. I just began to worship. And in that moment, I actually remember seeing kind of like, I don't know how to describe it other than just kind of a vision. Like, as I was praying, I could see something that I thought was going to happen, and I believe the Holy Spirit was actually speaking to me. And in that moment, I remember seeing my best friend, Aaron Engel, one of my best friends, and he was hilarious. He had the greatest laugh. Like, if you ever had those friends whose laughs make you laugh, he was one of those guys. And Aaron Engel was awesome, dude. I still, to this day, he's a great friend of mine. But I remember seeing that he had sprained his ankle in soccer the previous week. And so it was over Christmas break, and he had sprained his ankle, and they had some games, and he was going to be kept out. And I just remember seeing this kind of picture that I was going to just pray for his ankle, and that when I prayed for his ankle, he was actually going to get better, that he was actually going to feel completely better. And I was like, well, I don't know if this is actually from God or not, but I'm going to just give it a shot. So we went to IHOP, and we had our thing, and I think I gave someone an Office DVD, like, you know, the season of The Office. You guys know what I'm talking about? And they're like, dude, I have Netflix. And I was like, oh, sorry. It was like, I bought you something that didn't matter. I don't know why I said that. But I remember getting out to the parking lot. We were all going our separate ways, and right where I imagined it, right where I saw it, it was right there. And I said, Aaron, hey, I know this could be weird. Do you mind if I just pray for your ankle? Like, I think God wants to heal your ankle. And I remember in that moment, I just put my hand on his ankle, and I just started praying. And you know how he had that laugh. So I just remember he just started kind of laughing. He's like, oh, you know, and he had a much better laugh than that, I promise. And girls, you would have been melted by his smile. It was a great smile. But I always used to hear that. I'm just saying. All right, so he had a great smile. And so I remember he just like, I was like, well, dude, does it feel better? He's like, I don't know. He's like, so I was like, test it. And I was like, try doing something you couldn't do before. He's like, all right. So he kind of like started hopping around. And remember, he had a sprained ankle. And I remember it was just how I saw it in time of prayer. I remember it was just exactly how I saw it in the time of prayer. And Aaron was like, dude, it feels great. Like, it doesn't feel sprained at all. And I remember in that moment, I learned something really important. I remember that if you are willing to give attention to the Holy Spirit in your life, if you're willing to give him time, if you're willing to give him focus, he may not always give you visions of what's going to happen. I've only had that happen one time, and I was a senior in high school. But I can tell you this, that he will lead you and guide you in your life. And the things that you want to do, the things that you want to see, the goals that God's put in your heart, the way that's going to happen is through each and every day being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to do things that are just, you know what? They're a little bit outside of your comfort zone. You know, God might put on your heart to invite your friend to Paramount, right? And guess what? Your friend could say no. That's a very real possibility. They could say no. And all of a sudden you're thinking like, God, I thought you asked me to invite them. And we start to feel like, oh man, I'm a failure. I messed up. Or maybe you wanted to serve and you feel like, man, I want to use my gifts. I want to help somebody else. And so you volunteer here at the church and you start serving in the kids area. And then you're all like, dang, man, like I didn't know these diapers were going to be this intense. Like I didn't think it was going to be this hard. Or maybe for you, you try and start a conversation with your parents about Jesus. And you think, man, like I know I'm supposed to tell them about this, but I want to start this conversation. But every time I do, they say, hey, just, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Guys, we have to be willing to say, Holy Spirit, wherever you lead me, I'm going to go. And even if it costs me something to obey you, if it costs me popularity, if it costs me anything, I will follow you wherever you go. And remember, we're not in charge of the outcome. That's up to him. But here's what I truly believe. I believe that when we step out and we say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to follow you, that the Holy Spirit will give us power for every situation of our life. Maybe you've had trouble in a certain season you're going through. Maybe you're really struggling and you're in the dark moment in your life. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. Maybe you have this burden on the inside of you to see your friends and you know community know Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you power to go do that, to be a light everywhere you go. And so guys, we're gonna pray, and I wanna do this. I wanna just pray that if you are someone who, man, you need the Holy Spirit in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, I wanna ask you to commit to turning your life and saying, Jesus, I wanna turn my attention to you. Holy Spirit, I wanna give you precedence in my life. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I wanna show you, I think there's some amazing ways that the Holy Spirit can impact you. Let's go ahead and pray, guys. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that even as I speak, that my words don't do anything, that there's not power in my words, there's not even special ability in my words, that God, the thing that I rely on as a speaker is, Holy Spirit, that you're working in hearts right now. That even while I was speaking and telling stories, and that you were speaking to hearts. And you were giving small little directions. Maybe it wasn't this big, loud thing, but maybe it was this small little voice. God, I pray whatever you spoke tonight, that we would have the courage to obey. Holy Spirit, that you would fill each and every person in this place, that you would fill them up to send them out. That we would not be alone Christians, that we would be Christians who are walking with the power of the Spirit in our lives. That no matter what we face, that you're with us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just offer one invitation. And the truth is that as I was speaking, I really believe that the Holy Spirit actually was speaking to hearts, and that to you might have just been this thing that's been drawing you to what's been said and drawing you to what God is doing in this moment. And the reality is that is God's love for you. The Bible said, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit came to convict us, to show us that there's a greater way. You know, that greater way is Jesus. Jesus came and lived on earth so that he could die for our sins, for our mistakes, to close the gap between us and God. And he said that he's the only way that you could ever be saved. He's the only way that you could ever gain access to God the Father, to be right with God. So you're trusting in Jesus. And if you say tonight, hey, I'm ready to trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has been working in my heart, then I'm gonna just give you a chance to pray. I wanna just pray a prayer, and it's a simple, simple prayer. And I wanna encourage you, as you pray it, like so many in this room have prayed it before, that you repeat after me, not just to say the words, but mean it from your heart. The Bible actually says when you do that, that God will make you a new person, that he will actually fill you with his Spirit. Paramount, would you help me pray? Say this, say, Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner, but I repent. And tonight, I make a decision to make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I follow you. With no one looking around, our goal is not to embarrass you in any way, but I just want to ask, you know, if you prayed that prayer, you have to know something, that the Bible actually says that Jesus said that whoever prays that prayer, that you actually become a new born-again person, that there's something inside of you that the old way has passed away and that the new has begun. And that all of heaven is actually celebrating because there's one new person in the family. That in a world of 7 billion people, that there is an all of heaven celebrating because of one. One person who said, yeah, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And if you prayed that prayer, I would love to be able to celebrate with heaven. So no one's looking around, but if that was you, could you just raise your hand for me? You said, hey, I prayed that prayer. That was me. I made that decision to follow Jesus. And we're just going to give you an opportunity. We're just taking a look and making sure that, man, you have a chance to pray that prayer like so many here have done before. Awesome. Guys, you can look up at me. Thank you so much for allowing me to do an altar call. This series is designed to really help you go and be the church. And I want to remind you that you're doing an incredible job, that over 70 people this year have made that decision to follow Jesus. And I do truly believe that that is worth celebrating, because even one person that comes to know Jesus, man, God is so pumped over that. And we've gotten to be a part of 70 of them. And when we get to heaven someday and they're right there beside us, they'll be able to say, oh, you were the one that helped me get there. Thanks, man. Or one, I don't know, whatever they call you. But guys, can we do something that I believe they're doing in heaven right now for every person that prayed that prayer over these months? Can we celebrate with them? Can we lift our voices big and loud and pray for every person?